Good afternoon. Vinny V here in the green room. And it is a Tuesday at 5 o'clock. I tell you, sometimes we get the right day and sometimes we don't. But today we got the right day. And I'm going to go through a couple of things. I have a guest, Chris Lewis, and he should be really interesting guy. I met him on Facebook. He does a lot of stuff for the community, a lot of stuff to uplift people. Has a good idea on his agenda. Anyway, I have my brother Rob Bell with me today, too. If I just say hello.
I'm here.
Uh-huh, you are. And we're finally finished with the Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, true.
An interesting weekend. And good weather, bad weather, good times, bad times. I don't know.
I think a lot of people are still on break.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Not much activity going on.
Yeah.
Out there.
Well, it is that time of the year when people want to be on a break for the rest of the summer as it starts.
I know. I'm actually going to play golf for the first time this week.
Okay. That should be really beautiful out
there.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
Did they say anything about the weather for this week?
It's going to be beautiful.
You're not going to take that cool.
Come on over. I'm home.
Oh, God. All right. This is a very informal.
I'm on the radio. Come on over. My friend Brian's coming over.
Very informal thing. That's great. Anyway.
Come on over, buddy.
Yeah, he's going to come on over. Right. We're a little discombobulated at the moment, but.
Hey, man, it's live. It's live radio. You never know what's going to happen.
I know.
But you have an interesting guest set up today, Vin.
Yes, yes, yes. I think so. I think so. He's been involved in a lot of different things. Aha. I've got my new iBook here. I think it's called an iPad.
A new iPad?
Yeah, I guess so. It's pretty cool.
It's some in between a large phone and a small tablet.
Yep.
It's a new size I've never seen before.
It's really cool. I've seen these before. People use them to read. Sometimes they get the Kindle.
Kindles. Oh, it's Kindle-sized. Okay.
Yeah, it is a Kindle-sized one. And it was free from, I hardly
free.
Say anything is free. But Verizon gave me along with this for a year of not having to pay for it.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Mm-hmm. But at any rate, Chris Lewis is his name, and he actually has his own iPad thing called Deprogram to Reprogram. Sounds interesting.
Right, right. That's his podcast.
Yeah, yeah. And
did you see that ABC canceled Roseanne following backlash?
Yes, I was going to bring that up, yeah. I don't know what the tweet was. Do you know what the tweet was?
Yeah, she said former Obama aide was a cross between Planet of the Apes and the Muslim Brotherhood or something like that.
Oh, God.
And then she said, oops, that was just a mistake. I'm really not as big a racist as I sound like. And ABC said, too late.
Unbelievable. Bye. They got on that immediately, it seems like.
But on Facebook, I've already seen people on the right side of things the wrong side of things to my point, but the right. Who are supporting it. They're like, well, you know, it's freedom of speech. You should be free to be a racist if you want to.
Mm.
And if people support that.
Well, I heard a guy on NPR talking about it, too. And he says, well, then what do you call Kaepernick? I mean, was that freedom of speech when he took the knee? You know?
Totally.
They don't want him to do that.
Totally. That's freedom of speech.
He didn't want him to have freedom of speech. But and you know the funny thing? I don't know if you knew this, but Kaepernick was going to sit on the bench. And he wasn't going to get off. And he did, actually, for one game. And then a military dude came to him, you know, like a guy who was...
Yes, I did read the backstory on it, right?
Yeah. Right. And he said, you know...
Be more powerful if you took a knee.
Yeah, take a knee. And that also means that you're there for the people who died.
He lost his whole career, Kaepernick, over this.
I know. So I'm not feeling too bad for Roseanne. Although, you know, it was a good show.
I feel sorry for all the people that worked on the crew, you know, the co-hosts. Right. A lot of people, you know, lost their jobs, not just her.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Oh, you got a call.
I think so.
Is that your guest on the phone?
I don't know.
Answer the phone. We'll find out.
Nope. No, it was a text message.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. We can keep talking.
Yeah. No. So, everybody lost their job, and that was immediate and very big surprise to everybody.
Well, I guess, the ABC staffers, they just get reassigned.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's not everybody losing.
Right.
But like all the stars, all of the people on the show, all the actors, they lost their job
mm-hmm.
immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And probably some staff, like producers and people who write and stuff for that particular show, they all got lost their jobs. Yeah. But what are you going
to
do?
No, she'll have to think on that one for the next. I know she tried to apologize. But, that's a slip of the brain. That's not a slip of the tongue.
Yeah, but it just tells you where she's at.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's a slip of the brain. You go into this space.
You don't say things like that if you don't think them.
No. Right.
That's the thing.
Right. And racism is a very subtle, could be subtle, and then
just like the NFL has the right to say you can't take a knee on my dime because I'm paying for you.
All right, I think we got
ABC can say you can't talk like that when you're on my show.
Hello,
can
you hear me, Chris?
Hey, I can hear you very well.
Oh, you sound really clear too. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How's everything going?
All right, cool. He just, that's it. I have my partner here, Rob Bell. He just, we were just chatting about some of the stuff that was going on in the crazy world that we live in.
Yeah, definitely. It's always a lot to talk about that,
It's so unbelievable. The stuff that comes out almost every day is just, You can't believe it. You can't write this stuff down. It's like unbelievable.
Yeah, it definitely is unbelievable. And then at the same time, it's like I don't know if it's unexpected or expected. With everything that's been happening and how everybody's like caught up in the whirlwind of it all.
Right. Everybody's caught in it, and it seems to grow. Just grows.
Right.
It gets more and more crazy. We were talking about this thing with Roseanne today.
That's crazy. I heard about that.
Jesus.
That sucks.
And she's gone. That's it.
That fast.
Yeah.
The year, almost a year run or one season or whatever.
Not even.
Not even, right?
Really. Just going through it and boom. They drop like flies.
Can't talk about anything.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to talk about anything that we don't want you to talk about, you got to go.
That's right. That's what's out there. And it's weird because, everybody's raising their hand and going, freedom of the press, freedom of the speech, and it doesn't look that way.
No freedom at all, you would say,
Uh-huh.
It would seem as though we have less of freedom of speech and more of someone else telling us what we can and cannot say.
Well, everything is bipartisan. If you're not saying what I want to hear, then you can't say it.
That word. The good old bipartisanship or whatever you have.
Yeah, it's like it's split down the middle, almost like a civil war going on out there between the Republicans and the Democrats and this one and that one. But
true indeed. But it's funny, they actually turned that civil war over to us, because I don't think it's so much of a civil war for them as it is like for show that it's a civil war. So that way us as people can feel like our representatives are actually fighting for us, as opposed to us as people thinking that all our representatives are doing are saying they're going to fight for us, but really just working together to pad their pockets and, maybe give us a little bit of its and bits here and there to keep us stringing along.
That's right. Right. Well, that's been going on for a long time. And
I think people
are catching up, or people knew about it and did catch up. But it seems like with all the stuff that's going on now, the the separation is so great that people are standing up, and you know, the kids are standing up and putting out.
Yeah. The kids are trying to get active now too.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
That's the good thing.
Yeah, that is the good thing.
That's definitely a good thing, because I don't think like I wasn't activated as the kids now are, because one thing is we didn't have the technology and the information outlets to have access to all this unlimited information, I would say. But also we didn't have the ability to like speak freely amongst ourselves as kids are doing now, you know, with the parents are giving it a little bit of leeway to the kids to stand up for what they're individually represent or want to represent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good thing, because I think the parents are standing up with the kids for the most part.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think my parents stood up with me when I was, growing up in the 60s. It wasn't the same.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of like an output, the outcast, rather.
The black sheep, huh?
Yeah.
Good old black sheep, right?
Yeah. It was a tough one. Getting through that.
When it wasn't really like, I don't know, how was the communication in the 60s? Do you think it was better or worse than it is now?
It's almost the same, the same. There was that much of a differential between the one side and the other side,
Mm-hmm.
There was the counterculture and there was the straight culture, There was the... and then there was Vietnam, which was a whole nother thing,
the war culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, a whole nother culture, being breeded amongst the people.
Yeah, kids being drafted into the army and having to go whether you wanted to or not.
Crazy life.
It was a lot, man. I remember, going to Fort Dix and... going down
You had to go to Fort Dix?
Yeah, well, I wasn't in the army. I was going protesting.
Okay. Nice. All right, so you were one of the ones on the other side of it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I had no intentions
going that
route. No.
Not going to be a part of that one, right?
No.
Definitely. Yeah. That's awesome, though, because now you get to look back on it all and just see how much more they have committed to making sure that they continuously get troops over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like a salesmanship show now. They're selling it to people on TV. And
oh, yeah.
People's houses, and it's like, it's really a sales thing now, And it's kind of odd. Like, I thought you wouldn't have to sell.
Well, they got to get people in there. They don't have a draft anymore.
They got to get people in there.
The draft just, you went down to the... down to the draft board and you took the...
Look to see your name, huh?
Yeah, you go down here and you get all kinds of tests, and sometimes some of us went and some didn't. I didn't. And these days, people have to volunteer, So it's...
I just think more or less people nowadays, these days, they do it for the benefits,
Well, yeah, that's true.
It's sad because it's like coming out of high school, a lot of these kids don't have anything, their families don't have anything, or their families don't have much, and they just want to make a way, and they may not be intelligent enough to go to college, but it's like the army is right there. Like, yeah, just come and join us. We'll help you get there. And
that's right.
We'll give you stuff along the way. So, you'll be taken care of. And it's like, I don't want to say conniving, but it's like deceptive in a way.
No, it's very deceptive. It didn't happen too for a lot of the veterans, a lot of the guys who came out.
Yeah, and that's what happens with the post-traumatic stress. Is like
that's right.
The end game of it all, and it's like we, as a mainstream people, still haven't figured that out yet as well. It's crazy. Like I thought we were patriotic to the soldiers, as like yesterday was Memorial Day, but. Why aren't the veterans taken care of in full if this was the truth of this country, as they said,
Yeah, really. Why? I mean, this is what they put out for these guys. They were going to fight for the country, and when they were, the country was going to fight for them when they came home. And they found things empty for them.
Found out different.
How many guys are out in the street you know.
That, so many, man. It's so many.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's how I met you, so to speak. On Facebook, you were talking about to someone about that, seeing somebody hanging out in the street, and you talked to them where other people just walk over them.
Yeah, it's sad. I kind of do that often, though, you know, because I realize, like, it's going to come down to individuals changing the mainstream narrative and changing the mainstream perception. Because if we wait to try to bring everybody together to talk about it in a mainstream kind of way, we're never going to get there, you know? So it's going to take for certain individuals to stand up, as you did back in the day with the others that you stood up with against the Vietnam War or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to have to just try to keep spreading the right messages and trying to keep opening people's eyes to what we're being told to forget about, but also what we're being distracted from.
Well, absolutely. It's an individual thing.
You know, like,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm only one man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're only one man, so we just got to try to push that message as much as we can.
Yeah, well, basically, you know, it's up to the individual to make that individual thing, because you can't wait for the group, you know. You kind of have to walk the walk, in a sense, you know. You have to be in that experience as you're moving through this life, you know, relating that experience of that we're human beings and we have to see each other as human beings, and hopefully that'll change things, you know.
That'll help people to just, you know, that's the thing. It's like with the mainstream and the way the narrative tells people that it's okay to just be individual, it's okay to be private, I guess we could say. Like, you know how they've made it to where it's like, oh, it's just my family, and anything else outside of that is like not a real worry or concern of mine. And that's what I feel like we have to try to get away from.
Right. That's right. There's one family going on in this planet, you know.
Yeah, that's what it is, one big family.
And it's a global family, and, you know, that's why it's hard for me to, you know, say, you know, America first. I mean, it's the world. We have to deal with everyone, you know.
Yeah, that's so true.
Especially with communications now. I mean, you turn on your phone and you could see somebody on the other side of the world and just talk to them, you know?
Exactly. That's why this time that we're in is so dynamic, because we have now have access to people and information that we didn't have access to back in the day, you know?
Right.
Back in the 50s and 60s, people didn't have access to globally.
Nope.
Unless they were, like, financially capable to get around the globe.
You barely had TV.
you rarely had TV. People rarely even had TV. So the information that they had only came out of America. And the understanding that they had only came out of America. You know, so think how crucial that was for the rulers or the elite, the people that led the country in utilizing that big gap, you know, of information and understanding, because you couldn't really see the event taking place around the world unless you saw it on American news.
Right.
And if you saw it on American news, it came with an American narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were born on American soil, you more or less had to align yourself with the narrative that was coming out of American news, you know? And it's kind of weird, because it's like they played on certain realities in our life to trap us, so to speak.
Well,
I feel like being in the mind, I guess you could say, of an American person is a trap in the logic how we were taught, you know, because like you were saying earlier, it's a worldwide thing, and we have to realize that we're all family together, and it's hard to do that when we're trapped in a border that says we have to worry about America first, we have to think about what's going on in this country first, and, you know, stay along the lines of what's happening mainstream in America, you know?
Uh-huh.
If you looked at Russia, people won't look at Russia from the open eyes of a worldview. they'll look at Russia from what the mainstream has been saying as far as, oh, they're hacking the elections. Don't trust Russians and blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
Russia's much more deeper than that. You know what I mean? What's been happening in the history between America and Russia is much more deeper than that. And it's just sad how people just buy into everything that they're just being fed, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I listened to that whole thing about Russia, and it's like, to think that that's they're doing it and nobody else is doing it is ridiculous, you know? To think that we haven't done that, that we haven't pushed other countries into different situations.
Right.
You know? It's,
that's definitely, like, for people to think that America hasn't had their hand in other elections is just crazy to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there. Like, it's there in the proof is in the pudding. If you read, like, I don't know, the policies and things that they've filed throughout the history, they actually deep down, hidden behind the crafty words and long pieces of paper or whatever they have in a, you know, constitution and whatnot, or like just the bills that they pass, you can see the wordage that says that America has had their hand in different government democracies, you know?
Oh, sure. Democracies, dictatorships. I mean, you look at it, you know, we put the Shah in, and we've, Russia, speaking of Russia, I mean, how did, what's his name? Now I lost his name. Yeltsin. Yeah, when, how did he get in there? I mean,
how did he get in there? Yeah. You know?
Had to do something with America.
Who's Boris Yeltsin? I don't know who that guy is anymore.
No?
It's Russia's, Russia's Putin. That's how people ask. They're like, oh, Russia's, the only person in Russia is Putin. Like, they don't know the history.
No, no. No, I think the CIA or America or whoever it was put a lot of money into Yeltsin there to get him elected. I mean, so
I wouldn't put it so far to say that we still have people in place in Russia's government right now. And Putin knows this, but I mean, Putin's probably working along with those people to develop and, you know, further their aspirations of the Russian country, you know, because they're, I can't think that Russia and American business people aren't doing business together while we're stuck on the political overtone of how they're trying to play us, you know?
Oh, I not
there's still business going on.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Are you kidding with this administration, all the ties that they've had? You know, and it was all business ties, like you said.
Yeah, all business.
It's all business, you know, and that's one thing. Never trust. I never trust any businessman. You know, to me, I know you put them in one big bottle, but it to me that there's a almost an inert lying ability for a businessman, because he's got to get his money. He's got to get his thing. Yeah. You know. Yeah, he's got to get his sale.
Got to get the purchase.
Right.
Got to get one up on the next guy.
Absolutely.
And it's all tied in the same line of thinking that they teach us to do, you know? It's like small-time capitalism, but capitalism nonetheless.
Uh-huh.
So capitalize off your neighbors whenever you can. Capitalize off of their miseducation or their uneducation. Capitalize off of their illiteracy. Capitalize off of any thing that you can find to capitalize off of when it comes down to people, you know?
Exactly.
And this is in turn led us to, like, we're, I don't want to say we're all hateful, but we're somewhat on the side of savages.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
When it comes down to, like, thinking and considering other people's feelings, emotions.
Well, I think a lot of the feelings, the problem is based on fear. People live in fear, and when you live in fear and despair, there's trouble. There's going to be problems, you know.
Indeed.
There's going to be mistrust.
How do we escape that fear? That seems like the question of right now. How do we escape that fear? Or how do we teach people to break free from that fear?
Well, I think, I mean, in my own life, you have to go down to the bottom line of what is fear, And what are we afraid of? Are we afraid of leaving the planet? I mean, that's the isn't that the bottom line? Afraid of leaving the planet?
Yeah, I guess you look at
that. Yeah, right? So,
yeah,
I mean, a religion somehow makes some people feel okay about that. But I think, again, this is my feelings and my experience in my life. It's up to us to find out who we are and what our connection is with humanity, what our connection is with ourselves. And from that point, we can, when you know who you are, there's a connection to what this ocean of life is about. And if when you're bathing in that ocean, you realize the drops we're just drops that enter into the ocean. And maybe if we have a good time while we're here, it'll change, if that makes any sense. Just knowing who we are will make that happen. And most people don't know who they are. They think they're whatever they're told they are.
That's so true.
You know, Dick Gregory once said, they tell you, you got to grow up and be somebody. You got to be somebody. And Dick Gregory would say, you were born somebody, You just got to know what that is, and be that.
You got to find out who that somebody was.
That's right.
And that's funny that you said it, because that's what I've been realizing, is they've been doing a lot of distracting us from realizing who that somebody is. With, entertainment, the way that we teach our kids to play with toys and all these different things, it's like we're not even paying attention to who our children might be because of what we've been told or how we've been told to raise our children,
Right.
We've been told more or less to let the system help raise your children for you.
Uh-huh.
We know all there is to know about children, so that's what. Don't worry yourself too much. Just go and work, and we'll take care of this heavy lifting. Or so we're told to think it's heavy lifting having a kid,
Mm-hmm.
But it's more or less about how we teach them to understand things going on around. Because when they're young, I think they have an ability to process things in a way that we as adults or how we've been taught and educated, we don't even understand because we haven't been taught to understand it, We haven't been taught to understand how to observe and, analyze how our children interact with other children or how our children interact with certain things. And
mm-hmm.
I guess we just catch ourselves going about in a nonchalant sort of manner where we're just, letting the time go by without taking action or taking the initiative.
Right.
Hold on 1 second, that's my other line.
Well,
hold on 1 second, please.
Sure. Right. Hey, Chris. I'm gonna go to a break. But this is panjradio.com, and this is In the Green Room with Vinny V. And my guest today is Chris Lewis. And we're going to have a little break, and then we'll be back. So hang in there, okay? Here we go. We're in a break right now. We're in a break.
All right. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, so it's definitely a lot to process.
Hold on.
But, all right.
Would you like to host your own show on PANJ Radio? For a limited time, we are offering potential hosts up to 3 minutes of revenue sharing on advertising that they solicit on their own show. That's immediately covering their monthly fee and has the upside potential to make you $200 a week as your audience grows. Your show can be about entertainment, sports, religion, politics, you name it. PANJ Radio broadcasts live out of Green Birdie Studios in Lambertville, New Jersey. We can record your show ahead of time or do it live. And we can take live phone calls, too. We can also travel to your place of business and record or go live with your radio show there. For more information, please contact Rob at PANJRadio.com or call 609-460-4550. We look forward to hearing from you on the air.
Hi, this is Bernie Wagenblast, and hopefully Vinny V is not stuck in traffic right now and will be able to do his show in the green room here on PANJRadio.com. You'll find all sorts of interesting things that are going on in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania. So tune in to Vinny V and In the Green Room.
Hi, this is Frank Adams, and I'm inviting you to join me and my friends for Frank and Friends, 7 p.m. every night, where we play music that we have written and recorded together along the way last 15 years. So please tune in at PANJ Radio.
Hey, and we're back in the green room. Vinny B here, and I believe Chris Lewis, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, bro. I figured that was a good time for a break.
That's awesome. Well, a good time to break sometimes, you know?
Yeah. More than sometimes, actually.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes it feels like you want to take a break from life, you know?
Yeah.
How do you do that, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that's the answer to our questions that we've been putting out here today, you know?
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
How do you take a break? How do you let your mind go and just
live?
Live, yeah. Be who you are.
That's it.
Quiet that mind.
That's what seems to battle. It seems like, I think also that they present or they put a lot of things in our face so that we make ourselves believe that we have to actually digest this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, I guess you could say, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But in the true realm of things, we have a dynamic ability to choose what and what we don't digest and take in. But I don't think we've been taught to understand the power of that choice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where people are stuck right now in a state of confusion with the state of events that are going on. So the power of choice has, you know, put them in a tough position. Like, do they process the events and the things and the situations that are happening in our time in a way that they can, like you were talking about earlier, open their minds outside of just the American box.
Right.
And they continue to go along processing it from the American realities of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's a choice that people have to figure out on the daily. You know, every waking moment we have to understand how we're going to go about our lives. Is it going to be from the reality that it's an endless world of possibilities, or are we going to just think that it's only an endless world of American possibilities? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely have to free ourselves from a lot of the concepts that have brought us down, or that we're following that are not true, you know, or that they don't lead us anywhere, or that they don't make us open and free. You know, a lot of the concepts that we live with close us up to the world, close us up. You know, this is America. Make America great again. I mean, you know, just isolate yourself from everything else. No, 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 no. You know, we have to open ourselves. Right. What is you have an iPod podcast, right?
Oh, podcast, like a podcast that I have.
Uh huh.
Deprogram to reprogram.
Okay, can you explain that? Yeah.
Yeah, basically, what is the concept of that is what we're talking about now, freeing oneself from a mental box, I guess you could say, of thoughts, you know, and opening oneself up to. I don't want to say unlimited thinking, but something like the dynamic ability to think without borders. Not prohibiting oneself to be
limited,
aligned with that which doesn't fully represent us, but seeking, like you were saying earlier, our own individual purpose or reason to exist. And then after having done so, living that out. You know, that's why it's like the deprogramming process is evaluating your life, evaluating our society, and taking into account how it has affected our lives. But the hard part about it is we don't do this from a place of truth, which is like we're completely honest with ourselves, you know, because I know a lot of people, like I was in the past, I don't want to accept the things that I caused, you know, the actions that were my fault or the things that I got into that were my fault. I didn't really want to take the blame. I always used to blame others or whatever you had, but I realized that it's ultimately up to me, you know, and it's ultimately when I got older, I guess you could say, because when we're young, we don't really fully grasp that, you know, it's ultimately your fault, what you do in your life. It's ultimately up to you where you go in life. But they don't really teach us that. And they teach us to say, find what you're good at. And then run with it. You know? Run with it. Just run. But if you're going to run with it, do it in terms of the American societal operation. Don't go too far outside of that. Just do it within those confines.
Right.
But we have to find out what we're here for. And learn how to adapt to that purpose in this society. And then that's what the reprogram for me is all about, is changing your actions to mirror who you want to be represented as, you know, and or who you want people to truly understand you as. We've been kind of told to put on a fake representation of self, I guess you could say, to where, you know, when you go to work, you can't really truly be who you are at work because it might be offensive to others, or I'm not talking about like more or less offensive. I'm talking about to the point where anything outside of the norm is kind of a no-no, you know? So if you want to dress a certain way at work, you can't do that because that's not what society accepts, you know? So now you have to put on a fake representation of yourself because you might be one of those people who don't want to wear any clothes at all. You know, that might be a good shame, but
yeah, I like that.
You might be one of those people like that, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to go and get dressed in a certain way that you never were comfortable dressing in just to play a part that society says is right for your life, you know?
Well, that's called a compromise, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what they call it.
You have to compromise yourself.
Compromising yourself, you know? And that is something that, you know what I realized? We have to do as less of that as possible. You know, we have to compromise with people as far as, you know, certain situations go, marriage, parenting, coworkers, whatever you have, but we shouldn't be so willing to compromise ourselves in the way that we're required to in this American society, I believe. And that's what basically, so the deprogram, the reprogram, deprogram from the societal way that we've been taught to think and reprogram into the individually unique being that you are in this existence, you know, because we can be effective in the world, to the world, I guess you would say, but the box keeps us in thinking that we can only be effective in America, you know, but this is truly a worldwide situation that we're dealing with, because we're interconnected in consciousness just by the universe, just by universal science. I don't know the science of it all, because I'm not like a scientist. You know, they know they have the right words to talk about it all, but I believe that we're interconnected in consciousness. So when other people are hurting or going through pain and suffering, we feel that a little bit, you know, whether it's in Palestine, Syria, Yugoslavia, whatever the country may be, you know what I mean, Africa, wherever, in America, we're all interconnected to those that are suffering.
Absolutely.
But we have to find a way to act or to be communicative to each other in the way that we understand it.
We have to know what that communicate, what that common unity is. You know, we talk about community. Yeah. This is a common unity in humanity. And I think humanity is the common unity. But we have to find the humanity, the human part, you know? And
we have to find a human part.
That's right.
The commune unity part into it. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
That's so true.
I don't know if you ever saw the movie Little Big Man. It was with Dustin Hoffman a long time ago, and he played like a whole mess of parts. He played a whole mess of parts of Indian, young Indian, old Indian. He played all the different parts of this one Indian tribe, and he was sitting down with his elder on the hill. He would walk up to the mountain because he was so old, he thought. And he go up there every morning, and he go, "It's a good day to die," you know. And he just sit there and wait. And when it didn't happen, he would go down home and have some dinner, you know. And he would do that. So one time, Dustin Hoffman was with him, and they were having trouble with the soldiers and stuff invading in the Indian, tribes and stuff, And the name of the tribe that he was in was called Human Beings. And one of the sayings that always kept me was, he goes, "There's many white men out there, but there's not too many human beings left."
Oh, man.
And that's so crazy. Perfect. So
the irony.
Great line written in there. And, it's the human quality that we have to find in ourselves, you know, and that the you in human means divine in Greek. And I don't think there's so many divine people. I think there's more animal people, the animal side, where they fight and they kill and they have to, you know, survive, and this is it. And but the human part is missing, and that's... that needs a mirror to see. That we need a mirror to look within ourselves and see that. Otherwise, we think that we're everything around us. We think that we're everything outside of ourselves. Or we look for everything outside of ourselves. But what we are is that human being, you know? So
that's so true.
That's one of
the... to find a way to be human again, I guess you could say.
That's right.
Make America and the world human again.
That's right. That would be a good saying.
That's a good thing, right? You know what I mean?
There you go.
That's a great thing.
I think we got a T-shirt. Right, I think we got a T-shirt. Make American humans again.
When people see that, they'll be like, you know what? That's so true. Or the people that are so animalistic and savage, they'll be like, oh, who is this person that's better than everybody?
That's right. Know? That's right.
And it's weird. Like, it's kind of weird how people react when you try to strive for a better purpose in life, you know, and you try to convince and motivate others to, you know, rethink how they've been taught to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you face a lot of pushback,
from
the least expected places, you know, because of me personally, I faced pushback from family, friends.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to live just worldly. You know, I used to live worldly and be involved in all types of worldly stuff and no cares, like people cared about me, I guess, and my safety and everything like that, but it wasn't to the point where they really kind of superly criticized and judged me for what I was doing. They just accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm speaking out against all this stuff that's happening and all the injustices, inequalities, people are telling me that I act as if I'm better than others, you know, and I don't understand that because I don't act as if I'm better than others. I just tell people that I choose to think differently, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just that line right there, I think differently than you do. Mm-hmm. People are offended by that line, and it's kind of interesting because you would expect that people want to surround themselves with those who think individually for themselves. You know,
mm-hmm, right.
And those who can give them a refreshing new perspective outside of what the mainstream has, you know, but that's not to be in your regular circles, I guess that would be. You have to go to common circles and common groups of people to, you know, feel accepted or feel like, you know, your message is being heard. And that's kind of scary for me, I would say.
Yeah, well, you know,
I haven't been able to process that.
You would get criticized for, I get criticized for thinking that I know something that you don't, you know. But it's not that I know something that you don't know. Or maybe it is something that you don't know. But I just feel something that possibly, you know, the way I look at it, people want to feel happy. I mean, what's the point of life but to feel happy, to feel good,
right.
You know? And how people go about that. To get to that point, some people think it's drugs. Some people think it's money. People think it's family. Some people, I mean, everybody has their way to try to get to that place of feeling, content or happy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I put out is to be happy with who you are. And then you're always happy. If you just cut that off, you know? Just be who you are and you will be happy. Be here now. If you could be happy now, it's always now. So it's always now and it's always here. So if you can be happy here and now, you can bring that into the future because that's what the future is, here and now. You know, I don't know if
that's
that makes
so
sense,
true.
But that's the way I see it, you know. And,
it's like people are chasing happiness, I guess you could say. But
that's right.
It's always present if you just realize that it's like making yourself content with what you have and understanding that what you don't have doesn't matter to your happiness because we exist, one, and your potential existing, I don't want to say it's limitless, but there's no ceiling. You know, you can determine how happy you are in life by understanding that you don't have to seek happiness maybe from other things, people, places, but understanding of who you are deep down inside.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. The thing that, you know, I didn't say before, but if when you're happy, doesn't happen outside of yourself. It happens within you. So that thing called happy is in you. Always.
Mm-hmm.
How do you tap in to who that where that happiness is within you? We get triggers from outside. You know, maybe it is a happy hour. You know, maybe it is a party. Mm. Maybe it is money. They trigger what's inside of you already. So the thing is to turn that connection around so you can experience that happiness directly so that kind of makes the connection, you know? And
true indeed. It's there already.
It's already there.
You have to look within.
Yep.
You have to just dig a little bit deeper.
Yeah,
you know,
just...
That's something that people don't want to do, dig. within themselves, and I guess for information, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's there already. You know, it's there within us. Like, mm-hmm. That happened. That's so awesome, like, because that's so true.
Mm. When I was a kid, I remember, I don't know, I was on some kind of drug when I was 18 or whatever, and I felt so good playing music and feeling good, feeling happy, and I started writing a song about take your party with you, you know, just always be in that party, and I didn't know how to do that at that time, but over the years I've learned through different techniques how to be in that experience that's already there. Be yourself.
Never-ending party.
Yeah. 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 So that's what we got. We're coming close to... No, I guess we got about five more minutes. I wanted to get to... Well, I guess we really have covered a lot of stuff
that's
in your thing. The passionate about people, I think that's what we've been talking about all along.
That's the nonprofit. I got the podcast and then... a nonprofit I started called Passion About People, which is basically like, yeah, we've been talking about all along, is trying to motivate people to, you know, get connected with that inner ability to want to be human again, you know, want to help other people, want to understand the suffering of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then once understanding and seeing that visually and within you, mm-hmm. acting on it, you know, acting in a way that we can change the paradigm of, I guess, hate and division into love and unity, which is community and humanity, you know?
Right. Exactly what we were talking about, for sure.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just, it's like, you know, it's the paperwork process is hard, but the work is still being done. But, you know, it's like, I'm trying to figure out if I want to just go about this from an outside entity of governing, you know, because you go to 501c and you can get tax credits and all that, but I was thinking that it might not be a bad idea to see if people were committed to just helping people without the knowledge that they'll get a credit, they'll get a tax credit later on, you know, just doing it from the heart, you know what I mean, without that need to seek benefits later on.
Yeah, a selfless act of kindness.
Yes, that's exactly it. Selfless act of kindness. And that's kind of what I'm stuck right now. I've been talking to people trying to figure out if that might be a good idea, but in the long run, it'll work. Everything is just working. Like, I'm trying to move, as like you said, we're trying to seek that inner happiness and just live with it. I'm trying to just live with that as well as, like, the events that kind of take on to.
Sounds good to me, bro. Sounds good.
It's a daily thing, though. You know, it's a daily thing. Like, you got to just try to buckle down, not get too much into negativity, and, you know, get caught up in what other people think and their judgments of you and whatever the case you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big thing, staying out of that negativity in your own mind. You know, just... I don't know if you ever heard.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. There's I don't know if it's called a philosophy or what, called science of the mind.
Okay.
And the whole, it's kind of fun, actually, because it's a thing of catching your thoughts. Like, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you say, oh, I feel terrible. You're putting that out into the field of the universe that you feel terrible, and you're saying that's the way I want to go today. But if you wake up and say, I feel this breath is incredible, and take it on, it's giving me life, and I'm alive, and let's see, you know, and just taking those negative thoughts that come and just pushing them aside and just turning it into like a positive thing, you know. And if you start doing it, when I first got into this, I just catch myself laughing. It's like, how many negative things that come out of that mind, it's just amazing. And and you start feeling good, you know.
It's funny because it truly is kind of like the older TV shows when they used to have you, and then you would have the good and the evil. You know what I mean? And it was like the good
that's
guy
right, that's right.
Motivated, positive, and then the evil guy would be trying to say, hey, just do this, and you suck, or be trying to make you feel so down on yourself. And that's exactly what it is, because you do have those voices in your head that, or the thoughts that try to make you align with a negative reality.
That's right. You know? That's
and
right.
If you don't eliminate them, they'll draw themselves out into your life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be carrying that energy with you throughout your day.
That's right.
And like you said, like when you wake up and you're like, yeah, I'm alive, it's beautiful. Even if I don't got what everybody else has, it's still a beautiful thing. You actually live much better. That is like beyond so true. And I'm still working on that, by the way.
Yes, we are.
I can definitely relate a little bit to trying that out, you know, because I've been reading like Buddha books on Buddhism and all these types of
good
energy.
Yeah.
And like you said, the science of it is the science in your mind. And we have been, I don't want to say they withheld all the information from us, but we have been distracted from informing ourselves about the totality of how beautiful our minds are.
That's right. That's right. It's true. There have been people who broke through that and have been writing books about it. I don't know if you've ever read books from Khalil Gibran. Did you ever hear Khalil Gibran?
No.
A lot of his stuff is used in weddings, actually. I perform weddings sometimes. And I use a lot of his stuff, and it's just so beautiful. The stuff that he just talks about that thing that's within us, and it's really beautiful. And like you said, Buddha.
You send me the information about him, then I'll be able to check it out.
Absolutely, awesome, I think you'd like
just
it.
Newly into all that stuff.
Uh huh. And yeah, there's a lot of good stuff out there that people have some kind of enlightenment in their life, and they tried to put it out, and some people caught it and some people didn't, and it's beautiful because the path is there, the path to that realization is there, you know, and we're all on it. So anyway, is there any website or anything you want to give out? Because we're really out of time right now. So
you can just give out. I didn't send a link to the deprogram, the reprogram, but it's on Facebook.
Okay.
And I'm building a website for Passionate About People, my nonprofit.
Uh huh.
That's just going to be, I think the website address is going to be passionatelypassionate.com, but I'm not sure how that is working for you because I'm trying to stay ahead of the future game, you know, and understand how technology in the future is going to be. So I want to have like something that is definitely going to be able to
communicate
with everybody something.
Yeah.
Communicate with everybody as far as like, you know, how the everything's always changing nowadays as far as the internet and what's in and what's not in and what programs should be used and what shouldn't be used. So I'm trying to make it so that way I have something that is diverse and versatile in a way that everybody can have good interaction on there.
Sounds good, bro. It's a really pleasure meeting you.
Definitely. Deprogram and Reprogram 101 on Facebook.
Okay.
All right.
That's Chris Lewis. Thank you so much, Chris, for being part of the show today.
Good talking to you.
And we'll talk again, okay?
You would definitely catch up again because this is a great conversation.
It's
I feel that a little bit better.
Good.
You gave me some good information that I could think about, and it's just awesome talking to, you know, others who are understanding but also have experienced different things that can give a different perspective from their eyes as well.
Perspective. That's a good one. Definitely, bro.
So,
thank you so much. Keep communicating. That's the important thing. And
communicating and being human. You know, got to stay human.
There you go.
Great again.
become human again. That's right.
You got to repeat it again because it was so good the first time.
All right, guy. You take care.
All right, now take it easy.
Thanks
have
again. You too.
All right, thank you. Bye
bye. That's it for In the Green Room. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show today. We're done, and I'll see you next week. And peace to you. Bye-bye.